Well, good morning, everybody. I'm a bit wonky here, never mind. Yes, the next Bible reading, the second reading is from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 22 onwards. In the church Bibles, that's page 1217. It might be different in yours. Page 1217, 1 Peter, chapter 1. I'm going to start reading from verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by abhorring the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's pray and ask for God's help, shall we, as we come to this passage. Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you for your many blessings. But right now, we thank you for the blessing of your word. And we ask, Lord, that as we think and hear from you, you'll bless us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, God's word has us thinking about making babies and growing babies. Now don't worry, we don't need a nature certificate on today's sermon, but the image is very clearly there, isn't it, in verse 23. Please look with me at chapter 1 and verse 23. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Birth. And then over the page, chapter 2 and verse 2, it's over the page in my Bible. And like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may do what? Grow up in your salvation. So making babies, growing babies. I mean, we've got divine parenting, and we can compare that to human parenting, can't we? The human seed, temporary, perishable, earthy. It produces children, but because we live in this broken and fallen world, those children die. How different is that to God's seed? Invincible, incorruptible. And in all this talk of making them babies and growing babies, where's the real action? Where's the focus of it? Well, it's there again in verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. It's the seed, isn't it? It's a seed of God's word implanted in a person, received by faith, producing everlasting life. Though we live in these broken and fleshly bodies which are dying, we are now made alive and eternal. Seed that is imperishable. And this idea of imperishability, it's been there with us already in 1 Peter. Please just cast your eyes back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of dead, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Imperishable, it is kept forever. So what about chapter 1 and verse 18? But you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ. Imperishable. God is eternal, and therefore his word is eternal. God endures forever. His word endures forever. God does not wither or fade. His word does not wither or fade. God is the Alpha and Omega. God's word is the Alpha and Omega. And as God speaks his word, it's an executive action. It does something. God doesn't just speak. He speaks and his word completes something. And here, it creates life. As the word of Jesus is implanted into our souls, we're taken from death to life forever. And verse 23, one more time. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And we've got this rebirth imagery here, haven't we? And in the Bible, this idea of birth or rebirth is there all over the place. And actually, the technical theological word for this is regeneration. I mean, we're born once, in humanly speaking, but then we are regenerated. Rebirth, as God makes us alive. And this idea is all over Scripture. You know what I mean? We won't look it up, but it's there in Ezekiel, where there's this vision. Ezekiel has this vision of a valley of dry bones, completely dead. And what's needed? Well, it's needed. God's word is needed as God breathes out on them and makes them alive, regenerates them. Only a resurrection from the word of God will make them alive. Or what about Nicodemus in John chapter 3? John chapter 3 and verse 3 says this. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And it's, at one level, it's obviously true, isn't it? Our human flesh, it has a shelf life. Without Jesus, we're spiritually blind. And Peter gives us an illustration about this very reality, doesn't he, in our passage today from Isaiah, in verses 24 and 25. Verse 24, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Our flesh is like grass. You know what I mean? We have a shelf life. If we do well, it might be 90 years. It could be less. We might achieve amazing things. But ultimately, we will, without Christ, wither and die. I mean, we have some flowers, or have had some flowers outside our house in some pots over the summer. And they're not just being cared for by us, but by others as well, and they've looked lovely. But as autumn has come, the inevitable has happened. The petals have fallen off, and they have withered and died. But that isn't the end of the story, is it? Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord that gives us rebirth, gives us new birth, gives us hope for life, knowing that the withering and dying isn't the end. And those, this verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever, that's not just for Isaiah's first readers where that passage comes from, which Carl read earlier. And it's not even just for the people who 1 Peter wrote this this letter to. It's for us as well. But just think of those people he wrote the letter to. Remember, these are Christians, they're scattered all over Turkey. And this life-giving word is for them and for us. How encouraging. They feel weak. They feel like their petals falling off the flower. But God's word is there enduring forever, giving them new birth, empowering them to live for him. Same for us. I mean, perhaps you're the only Christian, perhaps in your family or in your workplace, or in a circle of your friends. You feel like you're a petal about to fall off that flower, while you're being brought alive by the enduring word of God. And there's nothing more powerful in this world. Just before I continue, I just wanted to pause though and just notice a couple of things. Because here, Peter is starting to transition to starting to talk about God's family, isn't he? He's talking about these babies, this rebirth. He's sort of thinking, whoa, family, are we starting to enter the realms of family? In chapter 1 so far, we've had the encouragement to the gospel. We've had how God gets the gospel message to them and how that gospel message calls them to be holy. And as we come into our passage today, we now get this picture of family. starting to enter in. And next week, actually, that corporateness becomes stronger and stronger as we see the living temple and then the people of God. And do you notice just in our passage today how a person does not enter the family of God, how they're not rebirthed. They're not rebirthed because of baptism, or because they've got Christian parents, or because of a human vicar or minister. What makes them part of God's family? What gives them that birth? It is verse 23, the word of God. The gospel. Jesus dying for our sin, rising to new life, so the hope of life, eternal life, can be ours as well. And as that message of Jesus enters our very souls, we're born again. It's not church planting that does that, or politics, church politics, or structures, but it's the gospel of Jesus, the enduring word of God. But we don't want to make a false turn at this point either. Just actually, if you've got your Bibles with you, then do flick back to me to John chapter 3, because I just want to read a few verses from there. John chapter 3. On my Bible, in my Bible, it's page 1065. And in a moment, I'm just going to read a few verses from John chapter 3 and verse 5. So John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And John's gospel, think, what gives new life there? Well, it's the Spirit, isn't it? But turn back to 1 Peter, what gives new life there? Well, it's the enduring word of God. You might be thinking, what's going on here? Is it the word or is it the Spirit? Well, it's the word of God that comes through the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit loves to work through the word of God. As we read our Bibles, whether personally or in a Bible study, or as we're thinking about it now, the Spirit loves to be at work at that point. That's why we often pray before a sermon and say, "Holy Spirit, we need you to be at work," because we know we can read the words, but we need God's spiritual activities to have our eyes and hearts opened. But the word is but empty words without the Spirit being at work. The Spirit takes the word of God and gives new life. And that's why we can say in John chapter 3, why Jesus can say it's the Spirit that gives life. It's why you can say here it's the word that gives life. That always works so closely together to bring new life, to drive a wedge between the word of God and the Spirit of God is usually a very unhealthy thing to do. So here, back to in 1 Peter, we have this dominant image, don't we? God's word, giving birth, giving growth. But as that image is put there by the Lord, he also gives us two commands as well. One is found in chapter 1, verse 22, and the other in chapter 2 and verse 2. So let me just read verse 22, chapter 1 and verse 22, and our first command. "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that your sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." Now, as we've got these new babies, they have outstretched love for those around them. Love that is sincere love, deep love. Love that comes from the heart. Love that is reaching out, stretching out to each other. And here, the each other, it has to be the church, doesn't it? Remember, this letter is written to the church in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This is love each other in the church. Now, it doesn't mean we don't love people outside of the church. We know that from elsewhere in Scripture, but that's not what we're getting at here. That's not what God is getting at here. It's like a, like, and it's, this is a type of love that is reaching out, stretching, like a sprinter who's heading towards the finishing line, excuse me, heading towards the finishing line with their chest pumped out, trying to reach that tape first. Our students reaching out, determined, working, hoping to reach and pass that next test. While a newborn child of God, they're stretching out with love. Or to turn the coin over, actually, to look at this in a slightly different way, chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. The opposite of love, well, we've got some of these things. No pretense. Deceit, no, we don't want to misrepresent the truth. Hypocrisy, we don't want to be two-faced. Envy, bitterness at what others have or have done. Slander, presenting something as false and passing it on to others. Each of those behaviours in chapter 2 and verse 1, they're practically accepted in our world today, aren't they? Either at work or in the newspaper or on social media. It's the stuff of every day. But what does Peter say? But not you. The life-giving word of God has set you apart to be pure, to love each other instead of doing these things. And this bad stuff, it is in the world, it's there daily. Whether it's big fat lies or the subtle twisting of the truth. Slander, it's just everywhere, isn't it? Often it's on a low level scale, but it's just so common. Hypocrisy, you know what I mean? You see the rich and famous stepping off a private jet and then lecturing the world about green issues. And you just think, what? Or what about a teacher who tells their classroom of children not to lie, but then goes to their boss straight after that lesson and says why they were off the previous day and said they were ill when actually it was for some other reason. It can be so everywhere. But it's not just out in the world. It can also happen in the church as well. Deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Whether it's said or just tapped away on a keyboard or whether it's just in our hearts. I mean, we're a small church. It can be so tempting for me to envy a church that has its own building, a bigger congregation. When I'm feeling weak and discouraged, I can be so tempted to go down that path. But God's imperishable word has given us new birth. Instead of this stuff of chapter 2, verse 1, where to focus on what? Loving each other. A command to the newly born, to all Christians. And just before we move on to the second command, I mean, life for many of us can often seem so busy, can't we? We find ourselves overstretched time and time again. But what does a divinely approved overstretching look like? Well, in chapter 1 and verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that your sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. If God wants to overstretch ourselves in any way, it's to love each other. But then we've got the second command, haven't we? Chapter 2 and verse 2. Let me read chapter 2 and verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So here we've got the newborn baby, sustained by life-giving milk. And this milk here, it's a wordy milk, isn't it? So that they may grow up. I mean, I wish I had a hungry baby with me here. I wasn't being fed for 12 hours to make the point. Actually, I don't actually, because if that baby was hungry and hadn't been fed for that long, we'd know about it, wouldn't we? There'd be longing and yearning, the child would probably be roaring its head off. Ah! Feed me! Well, so should we. God, feed us with your pure spiritual milk, with the imperishable word of God. And not just to stop us crying, you know what I mean? Just to, so I'm not going to be sort of rah, type of thing. But why verse 2 again? Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Not so we so we stop being upset. So instead, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So we can grow. To rejoice all the more deeply as we live for Jesus day by day. To let his commands and wisdom direct our daily lives in the big things and the small things. So this morning, God has had that picture of making babies and growing babies. But how does he do it? He does it through his imperishable word that gives us life, that grows us in this life, in the matters for eternity. Because he is the best dad that we can ever have. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the best dad we can have, that you give us life, that you give us what we need. And what we need most of all is the imperishable word of God. The Holy Spirit taking that word, planting it deep within us so we love Jesus, so we can depend on Jesus day by day. So you grow us, so you can grow our love for each other. Help us, Father, individually and as a church, to always come back to your imperishable word. Help us to always be relying on your Spirit to be helping us as we read and think it through. And Father, thank you for the evidence of love in our church family life that you have produced through your words. And we pray for that to grow and grow in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.